Hello there. It's the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Luke Burbank.
I'm Allison Stewart.
You know, Allie, I didn't understand why we had that team of guys with pocket protectors, some of the best and brightest from MIT, why we were employing them, because we're a small staff. Why do we need six guys with those kind of black glasses with tape?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, because they have developed a special secret algorithm that we use to mathematically figure out what the most emailed stories are, the most viewed stories, the most printed stories.
I wondered what they did.
Yeah. I was actually ready for that music to be done. So that was perfect how that worked out. What these guys have been able to figure out is the things that you guys are reading and emailing to your friends and very interested in. And then what we do is we put it together in a segment that we like to call The Most. And I was ready for that music to start. See? Everything happens as it should happen on this program. All right. First up, pointing at herself wildly in the control room, Trish McKitty, what do you got?
Me first.
I just have to say, like, the way you always describe me on the air, I sound like a total freak, which is probably true.
Yeah, that's Rachel's.
So mine is the most email on MSNBC.com. It's actually a story about a guy who survived a shark attack. He was a surfer. He was attacked in August. And he says that a pod of bottlenose dolphins intervened, forming a protective ring around him that allowed him to get to shore and saved his life. And I think that's just amazing. And he was on the Today Show yesterday, so that's, I think, why people are sending this to their friends. So we have a little clip from the Today Show where he's describing the attack.
There's no warning at all. Maybe I saw him a quarter second before it hit me, but no warning, and it was just a giant shark. It just shows you how perfect of a predator they really are. And then the second time he came down and clamped on my torso and my board, sandwiched my board and my torso in his mouth. And then the second time he bit me, he swallowed my right leg, which kind of gave me leverage to kick him with my left leg,
which
might have helped me.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, no kidding. That guy's name is Todd Endress. He's 24. His back was shredded like a banana peel, peeled back like a banana peel, he said. Ooh, I guess I'll have to stop there. But anyway, thanks, Dolphins.
They swallowed my leg, but it allowed me to kick him in his brain.
That
so that was the upside.
Glass is half full guy.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. And then the Dolphins apparently helped play a role. This is like animals playing to their most stereotypical images. Come on, people. Sharks as attackers, dolphins as smart saviors.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess it kind of works.
All right, thank you, Trish. Who's up next? Dan?
Hey, guys. I watched that video clip real quick about on the Today Show, and the guy looks in pretty good shape.
Okay,
so it had a happy ending.
All right, what have you for us?
Most emailed, New York Times. It's about rationalization. And this is something that we all do. We all rationalize certain behaviors that may be irrational. Like, for instance, Luke, I'm sure that you probably have convinced yourself that scarf is really, really awesome. You know, and that it looks totally appropriate here indoors. But, you know, we all do irrational things. What's interesting about this article is that they've discovered that rationalization may actually be hardwired. And they've done experiments that show that monkeys actually rationalize their own behaviors. Basically, when a person or animal is faced with conflicting thoughts, they generally deal with that by eliminating one of those thoughts so that everything sort of makes sense in their little world.
Okay.
The experiment they did with these monkeys is they first gave them an array of all different colored M&Ms, and when they took the monkeys that would pick any color equally. They didn't have a color preference. Then they forced them to choose between only two colors.
Okay.
And whichever M&M they chose became their preference. So they all of a sudden they rationalized that blue was the best M&M after they chose blue. And suddenly red, which they had discarded, sucks. They're like, I don't want any red M&M's.
So they always, that became desirable.
Exactly.
After they chose it, it was desirable.
Exactly.
For no real reason except that they chose it.
Exactly.
Now, were any of the monkeys wearing awesome scarves from H&M that they had just picked up for $9 that I think looked pretty stylish?
If they had been, I'm sure they would have been as pleased with themselves as you are.
I'm just saying, it's a really good scarf and it looks really good on me.
Same thing with 4-year-olds, by the way. They did the same experiment with 4-year-olds and stickers, and it worked with them, too.
Wow.
And 31-year-olds and scarves.
Yeah.
It apparently worked as well.
Right. It was cold when the show started. All right.
All right. My most is from Yahoo Most Viewed. I love this. Researchers in 2005 looked at all the best-selling songs and discovered that a third of all popular songs refer to substance abuse. And then they broke it down by genre. And they found out that 37% of the top country songs featured references to drugs or alcohol, compared to just 14% of rock songs. Can you imagine that? You know what, though? If you throw in rap songs, 77% of rap songs refer to some sort of drugs or alcohol.
Here's where it is. Crevassier and Miller Lite. Thank you, guys. Crevassier for the hip-hop songs, Miller Lite for the country songs.
Some Chronic.
Skewing the numbers, a little bit of the sticky, icky, icky. As Snoop would say, put your finger in the air, ooh-wee. Still, see? I'm surprised it was that high. And what's the best part? The photographic accompaniment?
They put a picture of Keith Urban next to this story. This poor guy's been in and out of rehab. He becomes the photo imagery for this story on Yahoo Most Viewed. Poor Keith.
Allie, do you want to sneak one more in?
Oh, I could. Do we have time?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. They're nodding.
This is also from Yahoo. They have this thing called the Buzz Index, and it's what terms people are searching. This term was up 51,000% since yesterday.
Wow.
And the term is Leaning Tower of Pisa, and that is because it has been displaced in the Guinness Book for the building with the biggest lean. A 15th century church steeple in Germany snatched the accolade away from the most tilted tower in the world. Apparently, this church steeple in Germany, if you look at the picture, that thing's leaning. So the Leaning Tower of Pisa, number 2 now.
That, my friends, is the most. Thank you, Danimal. Thanks, Trish.